Appian Missouri River and Attribute Such District Board Meeting. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Copy of the Open Meetings Act, U.S. Statute 8414-07 through 8414-14 is posted on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning to the agenda for today's meeting, I'd like to announce the procedure to be used for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, directors will hear the subcommittee chairperson's report with their proposals and recommendations, and the public will be given the opportunity to address the board chair. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item, take action. All questions and comments will be addressed to the board chair. We ask the public not interrupt the director's discussion and action. Thank you. With that, form call, please.
Heckley.
Here.
Fine.
Here.
Bradley.
Here.
Thomas.
Here.
Davidson.
Here.
Fowler.
Here.
Jeff.
Here.
McCormick.
Here.
Spinsky. Teeter.
Here.
Manchurian.
Here. I have an excused absence for Sapinski, and good to see you. adoption of the agenda.
Second.
Twice and seconded twice. I hope you got that. Roll call.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Beckley.
Aye.
Chairperson.
Yes.
Item 5, the adoption of consent agenda. Do a motion?
So moved.
And the second?
Second.
Roll call.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Yes.
Davidson.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
Yes.
Aye.
Yes, I have here proof of publication that this meeting has been duly advertised. Moving on to agency reports. Item 8A, presentation birth outcomes and water supply, Jesse Bell. Where are you? Okay, we'll I'll uncheck that one until it shows up. B, Natural Resource Conservation Service, Andy Bonenkamp.
I see someone coming out of the shadows. It must be Andy.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Good to be back. Andy Bonenkamp, District Conservationist with NRCS here in Papio NRD. Great time of the year. This is the time that NRCS employees all throughout the nation are hard at work putting plans into place that we've been working on for pretty much the entire year, and harvest is underway. Weather's great, so we're all pretty pumped up for the upcoming couple months working out in the field. So I'm gonna today just kind of give you a couple items, cover staffing throughout the NRD, kind of hit some highlights on some things that we've got that are new. And then also touch on the USDA field office operations as we move into the next calendar year as they relate to COVID. So just kind of give you an idea of what's going on there. So for my staffing update, in the Takema field office, we tried two times to advertise for a soil conservationist. We had to reboot once, and we finally got a candidate. So Callan Paisley will be our new soil conservationist in Takema. Really excited to have him. He is still sitting in a background check, so we're just waiting on him to get cleared, and then hoping sometime in early November be in a chair in Takema. So that'll make a resource conservationist in Takema, a soil conservationist, and then a field representative along with the NRD program secretary or program specialist there in Takema, which is probably more full than that office has been in I'd say 10 years. So great news there. Moving up the river to Walt Hill, we also have got a new resource conservationist in Dirk Schultz. He is actually a transfer from the Ponca field office. So Dirk is from the Pender area, and his drive time's been cut in more than half. And the Ponca field office ended up gaining another position there in a soil conservationist. So the opportunity was just too good to pass up. Dirk was looking to move, and I was looking for an RC. So it worked out really good. Dirk's got 10 years of service with NRCS as a resource conservationist. Great background. He's a farm kid, so he knows his way around a farm. He's got livestock of his own, so he's going to be a really good fit for the Walltail field office. So that brings me kind of to the next item with respect to Walltail. That leaves me with a full staff of NRCS in the Walltail office, a resource conservationist and a soil conservation technician. About the only item left in that office is we have a vacant NRD program specialist. Teresa Murphy retired about a year it would have been October 1 of last year. So we have a vacancy there for that position, and just based on the workload, everything that we have going on, we had several staff members helping out up there, taking over for Teresa in her absence. And so now that we have a full staff there, we met with John Winkler and Terry Schumacher really just to discuss the future of that position and discuss the workload and the potential for hiring that position. And so I asked in the meeting if we could pursue or if the NRD would pursue advertising for that position. Great discussion. We talked about it, and ultimately John decided to go ahead. Terry supported that decision to go ahead with to announce having a new program assistant at some point here in the near future. So really excited about that, and really looking forward to filling that position, because there's a lot of work there that is due for someone to step in and take over. So looking forward to that. John, I don't know if you have anything to add with respect to that. Okay, just wanted to make sure. Really, the last thing that I've got, first I just want to say thanks to John and Terry for that. It's a big deal for me. So lastly, the USDA field office operations in relation to COVID. Right now, and you probably hear this a lot from all different sources, but based on the current situation, and they always say this will change, it could change daily, whatever. But right now, December 1 of 21, all of the senior exec USDA officials will return to their office. And then they will start phasing in January 3rd of 22. All of the remaining office employees. And so each state has got a re-entry plan. So Nebraska is going to have its re-entry plan, and so it'll be a phased approach with an expectation of March 14th as kind of the final date that all employees will be back to the office. So another good kind of a good news item that we're looking forward to on the horizon, barring any other unforeseen changes to the whole pandemic. So that's really all I've got. Just wanted to make sure you kind of were aware of how things are going operation-wise and staffing-wise. So,
any questions for Andy?
What was the name of the guy up in Tecame again? I didn't catch the name.
Callan.
What?
Callan, C-A-L-L-A-N.
Okay.
Paisley.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And also, by March 14th, you'll be able to walk in the front door without...
By March 14th, they're saying that all USDA employees will be back in the office.
Okay, the door might not be unlocked, though.
I'm hoping that goes hand in hand, that okay. The doors will be unlocked. I can't say with any certainty that that's going to be the case. there are a whole set of circumstances that, you know, screening questions that we may have to use for customers, for visitors.
All right.
You know, this thing I don't think is even settled. So, but at least we have some dates to work with. They've been pushing this back and pushing it back. So, I wish I had a better answer for you, because we're missing our producers. We're missing our customers. So.
All right, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, Andy.
Yep.
Good to see you again. Is Jesse Bell here yet?
Yes. Did you want to go? He can do it after 10. Right. He can do it after 10.
Well, I want to turn the page, so let's get him up here.
Okay, it's up to you, whatever you want to do. You said if you're ready.
Yep.
Okay.
Hey.
All right.
Hello.
Hello. Nice. Thank you so much. Someone take this off. All right. Well, thank you so much. I'm Jesse Bell. I'm at the College of Public Health at the University of Nebraska Medical Center. I want to talk about some of the work that we have ongoing around water quality and the impacts on human health here in Nebraska. And so I'm also the director of the Water, Climate, and Health Program. I want to talk real quickly about what that is. So the Water, Climate, and Health Program came about through a generous donation through the Clarum Hubbard Foundation. And the basic premise of this is to build interdisciplinary collaboration across the University of Nebraska system to try to address some of our public health challenges around water quality and water quantity here in the state. And so with that, we're trying to do research, we're trying to do education, policy development, and also training to better understand some of these threats that we face. And so very briefly, I'm just going to back up for a second and talk about what is public health. Public health helps with education, enhancing research, and contributing to public dialogue around challenges that we face within our communities. One of the things here in the United States, we only spend about 1.5 to 3% of our total health spending on public health. Public health is really looking at community-level problems and trying to do preventative implementation of measures to try to reduce health impacts. And so when I talk about some of these water quality issues, one of the big ones that constantly comes up is nitrate. This is pretty consistent throughout the state. This is one of the areas that a lot of people are interested in, and partially because it is costing some of our communities a lot of money. Some communities such as Hastings, Nebraska, are putting in filtration systems that are requiring millions of dollars in maintenance and installation as well. And so why are we putting in these complex and expensive filtration systems? Well, it's because of the potential links to human health, especially in the context of nitrate. We know that nitrate in our drinking water primarily comes from things like nitrogen fertilizers, animal and human waste. Regulatory limits here in the United States is at 10 milligrams per liter. The greatest areas of exposure in the United States are typically in agricultural areas and in individuals with private wells. Private wells because private wells are not regulated under the Safe Drinking Water Act, and it's also due to sparse measurements within those in those wells as well. And we understand the linkages between nitrate and human health. The regulatory limit for nitrate was set based off of methemoglobinemia, which is also known as blue baby syndrome. Probably many of you are familiar with this. It's high exposure to nitrate causes hypoxia, so babies are not able to get oxygen to their systems, and hence the blue coloration and the terminology blue baby syndrome. But there's been a number of, and so that's where that 10 milligrams per liter comes from. So that's where the safe drinking standards are. Exceeding that, higher risk of that particular medical issue. Now, there's been a number of numerous other studies that have been looking at human health impacts, and those Other impacts are not based off that 10 milligrams per liter. We've also had a number of laboratory studies that have been done across the globe looking at a variety of different animals and providing those compounds, nitrate and nitroso compounds, to those animals and finding relationships with cancer and birth defects. High concentration of nitrate in drinking water has been linked to adverse health impacts. The strongest links are the minor health ailments, stomach ache, nausea, things like that. Blue baby syndrome, preterm birth issues, and that's where we're talking about either spontaneous abortions or miscarriages, and also birth defects. Birth defects, pediatric cancers, and also adult cancers as well. When we're talking about adults, the highest, some of the health issues that we're most concerned about are the increased heart rate, nausea, headaches, abdominal cramps, cancers. There's been a number of studies looking at colorectal cancers, thyroid cancer, kidney cancer, bladder cancer, and non-Hodgkin lymphoma. And so next to each one of those, I have the number of studies that have been conducted here, well, not just here in the United States, but across the globe, and the number of those have found a positive relationship. And then there's also been some work looking at Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and diabetes as well. When we're talking about children, this is the population I'm a little bit most concerned about. There's been a number of studies, a number of health issues that are associated with nitrate in drinking water. Again, it's going back to the blue baby syndrome. Pediatric brain cancer, there's been, actually, there's now three studies, and they've all shown positive relationship. We've got one study that's coming out here in Nebraska. Non-Hodgkin lymphoma, we have three studies, one positive relationship, and then there was another study that was actually here in Nebraska that looked at non-Hodgkin lymphoma with nitrate and atrazine, so the combination of those two chemicals. They found a higher rate, threefold increase of non-Hodgkin lymphoma. And then there's also maternal and fetal health issues that have been associated with nitrate in drinking water. One of the most famous cases was in CDC reported in 1996. There was a cluster of spontaneous abortions, otherwise known as miscarriages, that happened in a rural area in Indiana. When they went in and started to investigate what was the potential linkage, and we're not just talking one or two, some of these women were having five, six miscarriages one after another. And when they went in and they actually were investigating what was potentially one of the linkages or one of the commonalities between all those different cases, they found that those women were being exposed to high nitrate concentration in their well water. And for their particular wells, it was about 19 to 26 milligrams per liter. There's also been studies done in California. There was one that just came out this year looking at preterm births. So these are births that happen before the full gestational period. And they found higher rates of preterm birth of study that was over a million people, cases, with nitrate concentrations between 5 and 10 milligrams per liter. There was also a study that was done in Europe that looked at fetal growth restriction, and so smaller birth of a smaller baby that was born with exposure of high nitrate in drinking water, and these were very high concentrations for that particular study, which was done in the Netherlands. So, and again, one of the other issues is that fetal hemoglobin, so that's where that methemoglobinemia comes from and the presence of that, and causing for less oxidization, so that means that there's less likelihood for oxygen molecules to actually adhere to the red blood cells, which then can potentially link to blue baby syndrome or lack of oxygen. So there's been studies that have been shown to actually show some of these relationships within the pregnancy itself. And then there's been a number of studies looking at central nervous system malformations. Five of six studies, and so these are birth defects associated with the brain and spinal cord. Five of six studies have shown a positive association with high nitrate concentration in drinking water. Four of those studies have shown concentrations less than 10 milligrams per liter, below the legal limit. So One of the things I'm most concerned about are which populations are most susceptible or most at risk. And with that, these are my top list that I'm concerned of. Pregnant women and their fetus. Young infants, anybody below 6 months of age, that's especially true for methemoglobinemia. Children just in general because of the association with pediatric cancers. Anybody with an oxygen transport or delivery issue, anemia, cardiovascular issues such as that, because of that oxidization issue that is associated with the blood cells. And then anybody with high nitrate, especially in their well water, just because of some of the other potential health impacts. Diet also seems to play a role. Certain diets seem to exacerbate potential health impacts. Other diets seem to lower the potential risks as well. And so we do have health concerns here in Nebraska. Nebraska has one of the highest rates of pediatric cancer in the United States. There's been a number of studies that have looked at this. This particular study that came out of CDC, I think, put us in number 7 compared to all states. There was another study that came out of UNMC that actually found a little bit higher rate. We were number 5 based off of this study. The distribution of pediatric cancers across Nebraska are not evenly distributed. Certain places have higher rates than others, and certain cancers, especially pediatric cancers, have higher rates than others, and especially pediatric brain tumors. We find higher rates of pediatric brain tumors on the eastern part of Nebraska, and I'll talk about that in just a little bit. So any of the red and orange, and I apologize for anybody that's out there, but anybody in any of the places that are in the red and the orange, that is where we exceed the national incidence of pediatric cancer.
Excuse me.
Please go ahead.
Red or fluorescent green? Because I don't see any orange.
There's this.
Okay. Oh, there we go. Okay.
This, like, right here. Okay. It's kind of an orange color.
Pumpkin. Okay.
Yeah. And then there's the red next to it. And so the red is where we see higher rates than the national average. And so is orange. Orange is also above the higher national average. And so you can see different locations. And so these are some of the studies that we're trying to understand is where this distribution and what are potentially some of these linkages for distribution across the state and why this is potentially happening here in Nebraska. One of the things that we've done is try to look at this from a watershed perspective because we know that, cancer, especially pediatric cancers, those are more likely to be associated with environmental exposures. Also, you have a shorter time frame, so those exposures are more likely to occur in the location where the child was conceived and born. And so when we look at this across the state, where we find the highest rates, and we base it off of more natural boundaries and not geopolitical boundaries such as counties, one of the things that we see is in this red-pink color, this is where we're above the national average, and the green over here, this is where we're below the national average. And this is pediatric brain tumors, this is leukemia, and then down here in C is lymphoma. And one of the things that I want to point out is when you look at pediatric brain tumors and where we see the highest rates based off of watersheds, and we compare to that to where we have row crop agriculture across the state, you'll notice that there's a general pattern there that is pretty similar between the two of those. And so one of the things I want to bring up, because this is a little bit of a depressing topic, so I do apologize for that, but one of the things I want to bring up is, one, if you have a child, unfortunately, that gets treated by or that has a pediatric cancer or a family member that has a cancer or something like that or a birth defect, one of the positive parts, we have a wonderful facility here at the University of Nebraska Medical Center. We have wonderful treatment, and the likelihood of a child dying from cancer is really low. That is a positive. Problem is, we have one of those facilities in the state. And so if your child has pediatric cancer, they're going to have to be treated at Omaha, most likely, if they're being treated in state. That is a financial burden that's on that family. A lot of times families that are dealing with these types of issues, they have to potentially move to Omaha. There's a high financial burden, so they're more likely to go into debt. There's higher rates of bankruptcy. If you have a family member or a child that has pediatric cancer, you're twice as likely to go into bankruptcy than not. And then there's been some studies that have shown up in Wisconsin that these higher rates or the cancers that have potentially been linked to nitrate has a financial cost on the state as well. Wisconsin did a study where they showed every year about $250 to $1.5 billion of medical expenditures are likely attributed to higher nitrate concentrations in their drinking water. And that does not account for the $1.3 to $6.5 billion loss of productivity that comes from people missing work, moving, and et cetera. So this is where public health comes in. We want to help with targeting the populations that are most at risk so that we can help them understand what their risks are and try to reduce their risks, whether that be water treatment, getting them on different water systems, whatever it potentially may be to lower that risk of potential exposure, because that's what we're here for. We also want to make sure that we're informing healthcare across the state, because we want to make sure that we have educated medical professionals that are at the front lines of this, understanding what some of these potential threats are. And we also want to make sure that we have community leaders that are taking, understanding this potential situation and helping better inform the general public as well. And so that's part of the reason I'm here today. We're also trying to better understand what is going on in the state. Now, just because we have high rates of cancer, is that 100% due to nitrate? No, I could never say that. That is just as difficult to say. There are so many other factors that could potentially play into that when we're talking about rates of cancer. Sometimes there's just bad luck. Any one individual case, it is difficult to say that that individual case is because of a potential environmental exposure. But when you look at it over the broader point of view, there are certain trends, there are certain things that we're definitely concerned about. And we're trying to better understand what are some of those exposures here in the state and what does that potentially mean for human health outcome. And so one of the things that's going on currently is out of the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. They have a study looking at birth outcomes in water across the state to try to better understand some of these relationships and understand what are some of these exposures. The study that came out Martha Rose did out of UNL looking at non-Hodgkin lymphoma. It was both nitrate and atrazine together that potentially were causing some of these relationships. So we need to better understand some of these situations across the state so we can move forward. And so that's why I came here today. It was one to talk to you and help discuss some of these issues that we face here in the state. And I'd be happy to address any questions. And I look forward to any discussion that this potentially can spur.
Great. Tim McCord.
That's a very important topic, and thank you for your excellent presentation. Now, can you simply filter nitrates and atrazine from the water?
You can. There are filtration processes, and that's one of the things that I'm exploring across the state, is how do we better filter some of this water so that we can make sure that we can provide safe drinking water. Now, I think some of our colleagues that are at the NRDs are probably a little bit more aware of some of those filtration processes. You can have anything from a simple filtration that goes underneath the sink, and that's like, I don't know, $150 or something like that, to a larger filtration system that's within the house, and that could be up to thousands of dollars. Those are both useful tools in trying to help.
Absolutely, we need to eliminate the problem in the groundwater.
Yeah.
But that's there already, and in the heavier soils, it's still coming through, or the sandier soils, it's much faster.
Yeah.
And then that's more, is it farming practices? Is it, there's a myriad of solutions to it or mitigations, probably not solutions.
Yeah, because, you know, my big thing is, especially approaching this from a public health and a health standpoint, we're already in the middle of a problem, and we need to make sure that we're finding a solution to the problem that we're currently facing. But hopefully we can do mitigation efforts to reduce the issue in the future. Yeah. And whether that be through improved agricultural practices, through I don't know, the variety of different other tools and mechanisms that we could potentially use.
The Nebraska Water, we've met with Crystal Powers down there, and they have at least an information program trying to get that out and try to implement those mitigations. I'm sure Andy Bonecamp and the NRCS and the extensions, they all are, but it's something we really need to get hammering on.
I agree.
That's it. Dr. Brad.
Hi, Dr. Bell. I was wondering, have a couple of things. Have you given this talk to the Environmental Quality Council?
I have not, I don't believe. I've given a lot of talks about this
so. Meet in Lincoln. It used to be, you know, the Nebraska Department of Environmental Quality. And now it's a different moniker, the NEE something. And so, but yeah. The Environmental Quality Council, and I used to be the minority populations representative on that. And I know we've had flooding issues at my house. So I feel like my phone's buzzing. I'm over here, I have plumbers and adjusters and flood mitigators. Okay, but back to this Environmental Quality Council, and I've sat on that, and I've remembered people coming to us and talking about how much atrazine was in the water, and I would make a motion that we'd have to maybe have the state standards, you know, to where it's allowable, and nobody on that Quality Council would, you know, second my motion, and you'd have a lot of, you know, big cattlemen's group and things like that just don't want to hear this. And I know you're concentrating on humans, but versus aquatic life, and so we're just, you know, at certain filtration of water system for drinking water for humans, but we also got to think about, you know, the fish. And that was one of the things that Fish and Wildlife was presenting to us, that the high nitrates and high atrazine, what it's doing to fish. Just fish, for example. That was another thing. I wanted to ask you, though, and you've probably been around for a while, the pendulum swings back and forth, federal drinking water standards. And I always get this, say, well, we meet federal drinking water standards, but right now maybe the pendulum swung and it's come down about standards of drinking water. Do you feel Nebraska drinking water standards, especially considering nitrate, is acceptable? Right now, do we got at least, that's a good loaded question, but go ahead. I mean, you have permission to speak freely, I think. But.
So I'll address, you know, not just aquatic life, but also, you know, you're talking about the Cattlemen's Association. Cattle are also at risk as well. Mm-hmm. There's been studies that have shown that we have higher rates of miscarriages in cattle. That's actually where some of that actually originated from, is understanding some of those relationships with the impacts on farm animals. So it has an economic impact in that way as well. Now, as water standards go, that's a tricky one. And I don't know if I feel 100% qualified to say for sure. I would say that some of the research that is out there shows that you're still at a higher risk of cancer, especially pediatric cancers and some of these birth defects, above 5 milligrams per liter. Current standard is 10 milligrams per liter. So from that perspective, you're still at a higher risk, even if you're below the Safe Drinking Water Act's levels. Now, on the opposite end of the spectrum, I understand the financial burden that would potentially pose on some of these small communities. I'm from Nebraska. I'm from northeast Nebraska. I'm not too far away from Creighton, Nebraska. Creighton put an infiltration system up there that's costing them millions of dollars a year to try to get it down to 10 or lower. Now, if all of a sudden we start dropping that down to 5, that's going to have a financial impact on all the communities in Nebraska. And that's going back to a little bit of what you're talking about, because if that starts happening, like one, if we just go down to 10, or two, if we're just, or sorry, down to 5, or if more communities are trying to hit 10, that's a financial impact that's hitting a lot of our communities. And that's going to be distributed to our communities. So that's where I think some of these other mitigation efforts are going to be incredibly important for reducing some of the water quality issues that we have. So we're not having to do what Creighton, what Hastings, and what a lot of other communities are starting to do across Nebraska. And so, yeah, I think we still have a lot of threats that we face. And are we there? Are we at a safe place right now? I would say not yet. But that's the best answer I could probably give.
Well, I agree. And real quick, I won't be too long-winded, but the you had mentioned Blue Baby Syndrome and maybe other, if I understood right, individuals that have problems with getting enough oxygen. And I know you're coming out of the med center, public health, and if they've looked at this enough yet, where my wife's a pulmonologist, critical care, but if COVID-19 throws another wrench into the whole mix, and you know, about getting enough.
Yeah. You're talking about compounding issues, and it's from both ends, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like I said before, it might not just be nitrate. It might be nitrate and atrazine that increase risk, especially within human health. But now all of a sudden, you know, we have obviously COVID, which is causing some, and your wife is much more aware than I am about this, is causing potential health risk. Then you throw on top of that, what is the potential of human health issues that could potentially be associated with having high nitrate, and if you're having dealing with long-term potential health risks associated with something like COVID, I could see there being a compounding potential health outcome associated with that.
Yeah, hypothesize as well. Yeah. Yeah, thank you.
But there's no information at this time to say one way or another.
Just one and we're not plateaued. Nitrogen is still increasing in groundwater in most areas, agricultural row crop areas. And so our problem is already there, and it's getting worse, is my understanding. So hopefully we can get some action and communication.
Yeah. Well, and I appreciate this. And I appreciate you allowing me to be here today, because I want to be able to talk about these issues, and I want to make sure that we're trying to do the best that we can to protect our communities. Like I said, the population that I'm most concerned about are especially children and women that are pregnant or thinking about getting pregnant. How do we get the information to them so that we're reducing their potential risk, and then moving out from there?
Yeah. I have one brief question. Is it a state statute or law that every public water supply has to be at 10 or below, or is that just a strong suggestion?
I'm not the legal expert here. I believe that all municipal water systems are supposed to hit that 10 or below level. The private drinking wells are of a higher concern because they are not regulated under the Safe Drinking Water Act.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Fred.
I have a question related to bottled water and water. What's the relationship? Does it have high nitrates in bottled water?
That's a great question. There's been some anecdotal studies, and I've even looked at this, and just because you have bottled water does not mean that it's necessarily safe, because it isn't always regulated under a lot of these acts as well, and there's some loopholes in there from what I understand. I've tested water, bottled water, and actually found that some of it does have high surprisingly high nitrate concentrations in it.
Actually, Fred, the water out of your tap is more regulated than bottled water.
Right.
That's a much clearer way of saying it.
So whatever comes
up. One final note. We recently saw a presentation by Paul Woodward of our staff about the well monitoring we do. And there's a couple of hot spots for nitrates. And that data, correct me, is online. Are you familiar with that? And am I correct? The other NRDs also use that same database? And if not, if you're not aware of it, perhaps you should be, and link into that data of the monitoring that we and the other NRDs perform as well.
That I'm not 100% aware of that. I definitely want to follow up to make sure that we're getting that information, because, like I said, we're expanding some of our studies to better understand some of the health issues that we're facing in the state. And for identifying some of these spots, I think would be very, very important for some of our work.
Yeah, we don't want to go through those exercises and keep it secret, for by all means. And thank you for your presentation. Very eye-opening.
One question. I look back in the bottled water that we talked about, and we got a Coke and a Pepsi. If I go with McCormick and have a Guinness tonight, what they make those products with, is that regulated, or how would you determine that?
Oh, that's probably...
Well, so I would think that the product is made in what, some municipality. So, I mean, so assuming they use a municipal supply, there should be some regulation. As far as the water that goes into it, you can't count on the alcohol in the house. So there should be some standard there. But so, for example, the bottled water is, it comes from municipal supply use, but it isn't, it's more of an FDA, Food Drug Administration issue, than instead of an environmental issue. So water, or bottled water, again, is not as regulated and as, I guess, monitored as tap water. So yeah. Really, your tap water should be cleaner than your bottled water.
Yeah.
In theory.
And, it really depends on the individual location. I like beer. I like breweries. And a lot of them will do a lot of extra filtration on some of those water systems because they want more purity in their water.
So what I'm hearing you say, it's safe to drink a cold beer tonight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We'll do some research. And we'll do some research.
Thanks. All right.
Killing up. Your presentation.
I think he wants.
Just please tell me, Jim Beam is safe, right? Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks. Good. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Moving on to item C, the NARD, Director Rich Teaser.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The NARD did have their annual get-together out of Kearney, Nebraska, September 27th, 28th. And I want to personally thank all the directors and staff from this NRD that did show up. Good group, and nice to see them there. The overall attendance, I thought, was a little bit down, and some of the displays were, because of the COVID, probably lacking a little bit. We're building back up. I'm sure next year it'll be better, but I was a little bit disappointed in that regard. The one item, the one resolution which was discussed was the President Biden's 30-30 plan. Yeah, that's to save, preserve 30% of the water and 30% of the land of the United States by the year 30-30. That was overwhelmingly rejected by the NARD board. That pretty much concludes my report.
Okay. Anyone want to offer any comments on the breakout sessions and such? Tim, Pinchy's not here, but
they were a little thin. I did enjoy some of the afternoon sessions. It seemed like the morning sessions were a little light in content, but I had to make an early exit Tuesday, so I did not catch the meetings Tuesday.
Yeah, I thought same thing. We didn't do it last year,
right?
So this year there's
an
attempt at regrouping, and I think next year we'll be better. It was cut off half a day, and it was condensed, but I think the feedback I gave on the forum was it's hiding the topics a little bit for more in-depth discussion. There were still some good things I learned, of course.
Absolutely. Some of the vendors had, like I said, with Crystal Powers, a lot of conversation about the research that Nebraska Water does. Kind of their, like, deal with the Doherty for Water and the Nebraska Water and the extension and their program and the communication that she tries to do on this nitrate problem we have and other water issues.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Rich. Item D, Legislative Report. Catalyst, Tim Gay.
Thank you. Tim Gay with Catalyst Public Affairs. I didn't hand out anything. I just wanted to give a quick report of where we're at. I think last time I was here was probably August, and I had brought up the idea, General Manager Winkler and I would go out and see some of the senators, starting with the Revenue Committee, because some of the different issues that happened in the legislature, and just an awareness talk. So just to update, we have had some of those meetings, starting with the Revenue Committee, with Senator Linehan. She's the chairman. Senator Lindstrom, he's on that committee, and Senator Flood. And then we have a Wednesday breakfast next Wednesday with Senator Rich Pauls here at Omaha. And so we're making progress. We did get about, there's a month there where we couldn't do a whole lot of anything because about a week before redistricting, no one wanted to talk, and about a week after, no one wanted to talk. So we just kind of stayed clear there. Some of the other things we've done, attended the Star Wars hearing out of the Mahoney Park. and that, and followed some of those hearings, the appropriations hearings on the ARPA funds. There was a Star Wars update on that. So anything like that, we've been following those. Chamber of Commerce, they had their annual policy briefings. They have a subset in the state chamber on natural resources, so we were on there, but there was nothing really that was thrilling on that. We worked with General Manager Winkler on a couple other things. I think there's CenturyLink hook up there, so John could do some relocation issues. So we helped with that. What else? Some of the other some of the Star Wars committee members, just one on one. I've been talking to them, seeing them. Attending some fundraisers. That's starting. It is election season next year. So on goodwill for you and others, we do attend a lot of fundraisers. Of course, you can't give donations, but I think that's always goodwill that you attend those, especially when they're in their own district. So we've done a lot of that. But anyway, our plan is still now. You got the holidays coming up quicker than you think, you know, in November, December. But we've still got about 12 different senators, I think. We had a list of 18. So we've got about 12, but those will be scheduled fairly quickly here in the next few weeks, I hope. Many of those are, of course, in the district is who we want to talk to. So things are going well, and I'll give you some time because that's what we had. So I just wanted to let you know that's kind of what we're working on. So.
Thank you. Any questions? Tim?
Any report on the Star Wars? I wasn't able to attend, but...
Well, John could probably bring you up to speed on that. They are doing the report. I have not seen it.
Okay.
And their Senator Hilders, which is a speaker as well, he's been out and about just touting all these things. I think it's a big list of projects. You know, you can only imagine when you're giving away money how big the list that is. So I haven't seen it. And maybe, John, do you know something?
So the consultant's working on the study. The study's due December 31st of this year. So... they're putting the pieces together. In fact, we're meeting with the Corps and HDR as part of their checklist. They meet with stakeholders in the Lower Platte. They met with stakeholders up in Lewis and Clark and then out of McConaughey. So they're going down their list, meeting with everyone they can, and then that report will be generated then. But we've got a lot of communications with the committee as far as kind of, you know, where they're going, what they're looking at, and kind of bouncing ideas off saying, is this really viable or not. So I guess we'll see when the report comes out. I don't have any preview of it at all. So
thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on to item 9, public hearing on land acquisition for the Papu, the West Papu Region Basin number 4. I will hereby call the meeting or the hearing to order at time does that say 4:48, and appoint John Winkler, hearing officer.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Agenda item 3 is evidence of proof of publication of the hearing notice. The proof of publication was advertised in October 4th, 2021, and October 7th, 2021, Omaha World Herald. Agenda item 4 is the explanation and purpose of the hearing, and Brent Meyer, Hush Blackwell.
Thank you, General Manager Winkler. This hearing is being conducted in compliance with Nebraska Revised Statute 252504. At this hearing, the district will explain the nature and necessity of the West Papillion Regional Basin No. 4 project and the reasons for selecting this particular location. Each owner of property to be acquired by the district has the right to be represented by an attorney and to negotiate and accept or reject the offer made by the district for the proposed acquisition. The proposed land acquisition is from a willing seller. However, the seller has the right to require that such damages be determined pursuant to the procedures for acquisition by eminent domain. At this hearing, the district will hear hear and consider any objections from any person. Thank you.
Thank you, Brent. Agenda item 5 is the identification of the exhibits. Exhibit 1 is the agenda. Exhibit 2 is a proof of publication of the hearing notice that I mentioned. Exhibit 3 is the preliminary site map of WP4 project. Exhibit 4 is the map of land acquisition area for WP4. Agenda item 6, explanation of the purpose and scope of the project. Lori Laster.
Good evening. The Papio Missouri River Natural Resources District is proposing West Papio Basin number 4, which is generally located at 204th Street and Schramm Road. The purpose of the project is to provide public flood control and recreation for the Pillion Creek watershed in the Omaha metropolitan area of eastern Nebraska. For this project, it is necessary to acquire property for the construction, operation, and maintenance of the regional flood control dam and reservoir. The district proposes to acquire fee simple Title II and or permanent and temporary easements in, on, over, and across lands required for the project. The district is currently looking to acquire approximately 60 acres of property for this project. The reservoir has a drainage area of 1 square mile, and the normal pool surface area is anticipated to be approximately 15 acres. WP4 will be a public lake with public access. There will be a recreation element associated with this project. At this time, we plan for in-lake fisheries, kayak and canoe access, a trail, and a picnic area. The main dam itself will be right here, with the pool coming up in here and in here, a water quality basin here, a water quality basin here, an access off of Schramm Road for a picnic area, and a canoe access site.
Thank you, Lori. Agenda item 7, receive testimony and statements from the public. Is there anyone in attendance that would like to provide testimony or statements on the WP4 project? Okay, second time. Does anyone like to provide testimony on this particular regional basin? And third and final time. Okay, agenda item 8 is a reception of the exhibits, and we will adjourn the hearing at 4:49. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, we'll move on to item 10, which is public hearing and land acquisition for Papio Dam Site 12 project. I hereby call that meeting to order at, in my machine, 4:52.
Okay.
And I hereby appoint John Winkler, General Manager, as hearing officer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Agenda item 3 is evidence of proof of publication of the hearing notice. Exhibit 4 is the explanation and purpose of the hearing. Brent Meyer, Hutch Blackwell.
Thank you. This hearing is being conducted in compliance with Nebraska Revised Statute Section 25-2504. At this hearing, the district will explain the nature and necessity of the Papio Dam Site 12 project and the reasons for selecting this particular location. Each owner of property to be acquired by the district has the right to be represented by an attorney and to negotiate and accept or reject the offer made by the district. The proposed land acquisition is from a willing seller. However, the seller has the right to require such damages be determined pursuant to the procedures for acquisition by eminent domain. At this hearing, the district will hear and consider any objections from any person. Thank you.
Thank you, Brent. Agenda item 5 is the identification of the exhibit. Exhibit 1 is the agenda itself. Exhibit 2, proof of publication of hearing notice in the October 4th and October 7th, 2021 Omaha World Herald. Exhibit 3 is the preliminary site map of Papio Dam Site 12 project. And Exhibit 4 is a map of land acquisition area for Papio Dam Site 12. Agenda item 6 is explanation of scope of the project. Lori Lester.
The Papio Missouri River Natural Resources District is proposing Papio Dam Site 12, which is generally located at 216th Street and Fort Street in Omaha, Nebraska. The purpose of the project is to provide public flood control and recreation for the Papillion Creek watershed in the Omaha metropolitan area. For this project, it is necessary to acquire property for the construction, operation, and maintenance of the regional flood control dam and reservoir. The district proposes to acquire fee simple Title II and or permanent and temporary easements in, on, over, and across lands required for the Dam Site 12 project. The district is currently looking to acquire approximately 155 acres of property for this project. The reservoir has a drainage area of 2.6 square miles, and the normal pool surface area is anticipated to be approximately 43 acres. Dam Site 12 will be a public lake with public access. There will be a recreational element associated with this project. At this time, in-lake fisheries, kayak, canoe access, boat access, a trail, and two picnic areas are planned. The first access area, this is not the right map. There will be one off of Fort Street and potentially one down here. a water quality basin here, a water quality basin here, and a water quality basin there. This is not the full acquisition limits for this project, as we are only working with those landowners who are willing to sell at this time.
Thank you, Lori. Agenda item 7, receive testimony and statements from the public on this project. Is there anyone in the public that would like to provide testimony or comments on Papio Dam Site 12 project? Okay, second time. Is there anyone that would like to provide testimony or comments on the Dam Site 12 project? Okay, third and final opportunity. Okay. Seeing none, agenda item 8 is a reception of exhibits, and the hearing will be adjourned at 4:51 p.m.
That clock is off. I've got 4:55.
Oh, sorry, 4:55. It's my reading that's off. 4:55 p.m.
Thank you. All right.
Got to read digital anymore. You can't read the clock.
Item 11 is a public hearing on land acquisition for Papio Dam Site number 7. I hereby call the meeting hearing to order at 4:56, and I hereby appoint John Winkler as the hearing officer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Agenda item 3 is the evidence of the proof of publication of the hearing notice. Agenda item 4 is the explanation and purpose of the hearing. Brent Meyer, Hush Blackwell.
This hearing will be conducted in compliance with Nebraska Revised Statute Section 252504. At this hearing, the district will explain the nature and necessity of the Papio Dam Site 7 project and the reasons for selecting this particular location. Each owner of property to be acquired by the district has the right to be represented by an attorney to negotiate and accept or reject the offer made by the district for the proposed acquisition. The proposed land acquisition is from a willing seller. However, the seller has the right to require that such damages be determined pursuant to the procedures of acquisition by eminent domain. At this hearing, the district will hear and consider any objections from any person. Thank you.
Thank you, Brent. Agenda item 5 is the identification of the exhibits. Exhibit 1 is the agenda itself. Exhibit 2 is the October 4th and October 7th, 2021 publication in the Omaha World Herald. Exhibit 3 is the preliminary site map of Papio Dam Site 7 project. Exhibit 4 is the map of land acquisition area for Papio Dam Site 7. Agenda item 6, explanation of the purpose and scope of the project. Amanda Grant.
Good afternoon. The Papio Missouri River Natural Resources District is proposing the construction of Papio Dam Site 7, which is generally located at 168th and Bennington Road in Douglas County, Nebraska. The purpose of this project is to provide public flood control and recreation for the Papillion Creek watershed in the Omaha metropolitan area of eastern Nebraska. This location was chosen to maximize the controlled drainage area in the watershed. For this project, it's necessary to acquire property for the construction, operation, and maintenance of the regional flood control dam and reservoir. In this case, north is up here this way. The dam is situated up here by Bennington Road in the spillway. Water quality basin would be south of Military. And this public hearing is really just to address those properties that we have highlighted in red. Those are the parties that have contacted us with interest to sell their land at the current time for this project. So the district proposes to acquire fee simple title to and or permanent and temporary easements in, on, over, and across those lands shown on the screen there for the Dam Site 7 project. The district is currently anticipating acquisition of approximately 137 acres of property for this project. The Dam Site 7 would be a public lake with public access, and there will be a recreation element associated with this project. At a minimum, it's envisioned to have a trail located around the reservoir, restroom facilities, picnic shelters, and, of course, the in-lake fisheries with the help of Nebraska Game and Parks.
Thank you, Amanda. Agenda item 7 is to receive testimony and statements. Is there anyone in the public that would like to provide testimony or input on the Papio Dam Site 7 project? Okay, second request. Anyone would like to provide any public input or testimony? Third and final request. Are you seeing none? Agenda item 8 is the reception of the exhibits, and the hearing will adjourn at 5 o'clock.
Thank you. On item 12, public hearing on land donation at King Lake. I hereby call the hearing to order at 5 o'clock. And number 2, appoint John Winkler as hearing officer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Agenda item 3 is evidence of proof of publication of the hearing notice. Agenda item 4 is the explanation of the purpose of the hearing. Brent Meyer, Hush Blackwell.
Thanks, John. This hearing is being conducted in compliance with Nebraska Revised Statute Section 25-2504. At this hearing, the district will explain the purpose of the land donation for King Lake. The proposed land acquisition is a donation from a willing seller, and therefore there is no eminent domain potential. At this hearing, the district will hear and consider any objections from any person. Thank you.
Thank you, Brent. Agenda item 5 is identification of the exhibits. Exhibit 1 is the agenda itself. Exhibit 2 is the October 4th, October 7th, 2021 publication in the Omaha World Herald. Exhibit 3 is the map of the project. Agenda item 6, explanation of purpose and scope of the project. Lori Lester.
The district was contacted by the owner of the property located at 24215 Lakeside Plaza in King Lake. To consider donating the property to the district. As the district owns and maintains several lots in this area as part of an ongoing flood mitigation project, district staff will present the proposed donation for consideration by the Board of Directors. And I believe Mr. Mulford is here, the owner of the property.
Thank you, Lori. Agenda item 7, received testimony and statements, and I think there's...
He's coming.
The name and address?
Yeah, just like
that. My address?
Yeah, your name and address. Thank you.
Yeah, my name is Harley Mulford. My address is 7303 Decatur Street, Apartment 5A, Omaha, Nebraska. And I am the landowner that has been working with Lori. It has started back in 2019 when she put in a request to the government for the floods. And it was denied for me because I have no house on there. My dad had an old house, but with the flood, it's completely took everything. All left out there is a piece of land that isn't, that sits in a flood plain. The only thing that I pay $50 a year for taxes from Douglas County. I also contacted the Blair NRD office when I couldn't get a hold of the Lori because I've been harassed by the developers. They got a hold of my phone and I've don't want to sell. My purpose being here is, and I'm not very good at speaking in public, is my dad, I loved Kings Lake, and being the lake will never be developed, I want the NRD to have this land without any, not looking for any money. And I got a clear title. It's to, I believe that the NRD will cherish the land. They'll take care of it, and it'll be a safe haven for the insects and the animals out there, and it can also be a part of a park. The lady that I talked with in the NRD office in Blair knows that somebody lives out in Kings Lake, and at this point, all the developers are doing is there's somebody that is buying up the land so the NRD can't get it, and there is no, and she told me that there is nobody that's going to develop the lake. So all I want to do is preserve it, and thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to provide any testimony or statements on this item? Okay, third and final time. Any public testimony or statements? Okay. Agenda item 8 is reception of the exhibits, and agenda item 9 is the hearing adjournment, which is 5:05 p.m. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Moving on to agenda item 13, subcommittee reports. Item A, program project operations, Director Fred Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Be it resolved that the minutes of the October 12, 2021 meeting of the program projects and operations subcommittee are accepted, incorporated in these minutes, and the following recommendations of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. 13A1, bids for fiscal year 2022 district vehicles and equipment. Recommendation that the following bids be accepted. 2022 full-size 4WD 1.5-ton dually trucks. Recommendation that the bid of $60,012 from Gene Steffi for 2022 Ram 4500 trucks be accepted with trade-in of the district's 2012 Ford F-350, serial number 1F2T7X3B TS CEV 17179 72, and the district's 2010 Ford F-350, serial number 1FDWX3HRX AE95757. The remaining $29,980 budget will be used for the purchase of these two service bodies. And I so move.
Any public comments? Staff, director? I've got a comment. The $29,988 budgeted would be used to purchase two service bodies. Are those for these new vehicles?
Those are for those vehicles.
And they weren't in the original budget requirement?
They were. They budgeted $90,000.
Okay.
And that'll
be ordered separately or when the trucks get here?
Which one?
Oh, they'll be ordered when the trucks get here.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comments? Roll call.
Do you want to take these all inclusive?
I was about to ask. Do you want to just take them all at one time?
Sure. Since there's only like
three. Yeah. I'm sorry. Okay. The bids.
All the bids one time. Number two 2022 half-ton crew cab trucks. Recommendation that the bid of $72,050 from GM Stuffy for 2022 Ram 1500 trucks be accepted with trade-in of the district's 2013 Ram 1500 4x4 pickup truck, serial number 1C6R R7FP1D S567040. Item number three, 2022 Jeep Grand Cherokee. Recommendation that the bid of $27,601 from Gene Steffi for 2022 Jeep Grand Cherokee be accepted with trade-in of the district's 2018 Ford Ranger, serial number 1FTZR4 5E78PA55928. Item number four, equipment. Two new John Deere diesel mowers. Recommendation that the purchase of two new JD diesel mowers from AKRS Equipment with a state contract, total price of $32,272.02, with trade-in of the district's two 2010 Hustler mowers, serial number 09111399 and 1001092. And I so move.
Thank you. Any public comments?
Well, keep going. I'm sorry. We'll take public comments after you're all done.
We'll go to amendment number two?
Yeah, keep.
Okay. Two professionals.
No, equipment.
You got one more.
This was equipment.
Oh, yeah. You've got.
The next one is amendment to professional services, so we need to take.
Oh, again, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Any public comments on the purchase of the vehicles and equipment? All right, any comments from staff? Any further comments? All right, roll call on item number one. 1 bids for the vehicles.
Hi.
Yes.
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 Yes. Now, item 2.
Number 2, amendment 2 to professional services contract with Fire Engineering for WP2. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute the proposed amendment number 2 to the professional service agreement between the district and Fire Engineering for the regional detention site WP2 project for the maximum amount of $967,940, bringing the total maximum not to exceed contract amount to $1,668,167, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Thank you. Any public comments? Directors? Roll call.
Davidson.
Yes.
Ballard.
Yes.
Jack.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Caesar.
Aye.
Bailey.
Aye.
Bonnet.
Aye.
Bradley.
Yes.
Humley.
Aye.
Chairperson.
Yes.
Item number 13A3. Interlocal agreement with SID 347 for sewer connection project at WP2. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute an interlocal agreement with SID 347 of Sharpie County, Nebraska, for the sewer connection project at the district's WP2 project site, subject to changes deemed necessary by general manager and approval as to form of district legal counsel, and I so move.
Any public comments? Directors, roll call.
Fowler.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Hankley.
Aye.
Bonnet.
Aye.
Bradley.
Yes.
Humley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Yes.
Item number 13A4, renewal of USGS maintenance agreement for Papio Flood warning system gauges. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute the proposed joint funding agreement with USGS in the amount of $127,595 in district funds for the operation of the district's flood warning system for 2022, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager, and I so move.
Any public comments? Staff, directors, comments, directors. Roll call.
Jeff.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Hagley.
Aye.
Bonnet.
Aye.
Bradley.
Yes.
Humley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Chairperson.
Yes.
Item number 13A5, groundwater monitoring joint funding agreement with the USGS. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute a joint funding agreement with the U.S. Geological Survey for a total cost to the district of $13,350 for the continuation of groundwater monitoring in the Platte and Elkhorn River Valley, subject to changes deemed necessary by the General Counsel and approval as to form by District Legal Counsel, and I so move.
Any public comments? Staff, directors, roll call.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Aye.
Bonnet.
Aye.
Bradley.
Yes.
Humley.
Aye.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
Chipper. Yes. 13A6, Platte River Bridge Trail Project Amendment 2 to the Professional Service Agreement with Shimmer. Recommendation that the board adopt the resolution provided by NDOT authorizing the general manager to execute a supplemental agreement between the district and Shimmer and Associates for the Platte River Bridge Trail Project, with total costs not to exceed $272,788.22, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel. And I so move.
Any public comments? Directors? Roll call.
Caesar.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Aye.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Alvin.
Yes.
Jack.
Yes.
Cormier.
Yes.
Dickerson.
Yes.
13A7, fiscal year 2022 long-range implementation plan. Recommendation that proposed fiscal year 2022 long-range implementation plan be approved, and I so move.
Any public comments on long-range plan? Roll call.
Beckley.
Aye.
Bonnet.
Aye.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Dickerson.
Yes.
Alvin.
Yes.
Jack.
Yes.
Cormier.
Yes.
Dickerson.
Yes.
Thank you.
And that completes my report.
Director Conley. Item B, finance expenditure and legal. Director Rich Teaser. And thank you, Mr. Chairman. Be it resolved, the minutes of the October 12, 2021 meeting of the FEL Subcommittee are hereby accepted and appropriated these minutes, and the following recommendations of the Subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. One, storm sewer easements to North Shore 2 at Portal Recreation Area. Recommendation that the GM be authorized to execute the proposed permanent storm sewer and drainage easements at Portal Recreation Area to the North Shore 2 SID 341 Sarpy County in Nebraska, subject to changes deemed necessary by the GM and approval to form by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Any public comments? Staff, directors, roll call.
Bonnet.
Aye.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Dickerson.
Yes.
Alvin.
Yes.
Jack.
Yes.
Cormier.
Yes.
Dickerson.
Yes.
Alvin.
Aye.
And Chambers.
Yes.
Item two, Elk Pigeon Creek Drainage Project, land rights 010444330360, accounts over 110%. Recommendation that the Elk Pigeon Creek Drainage Project, land rights account 010444330360, be allowed to exceed 110% of the budget amount up to a maximum of $151,938.21, and I so move.
Public comments? Staff, directors, roll call.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Jack.
Yes.
Cormier.
Yes.
Caneely.
Aye.
Bonnet.
Aye.
Chambers.
Yes.
Item three, Village Arlington buyout reimbursement request. Recommendation that the GM be authorized to submit payment of $151,707.59 to the Nebraska Department of Natural Resources to reimburse FEMA for alleged ineligible costs, and to receive $75,000 from Nebraska Department of Natural Resources to share the cost of FEMA's determination, and furthermore, to request reimbursement of the duplication of benefits paid to the homeowner of 435 North First Street, Arlington, Nebraska, and I so move.
Any public comments? Staff, directors?
Is that the resolution we discussed Tuesday?
Yes.
For the amendment?
Yeah.
Because it's not for both properties, that we don't even have an ask? I would propose an amendment, that we would at least have an ask of the...
So the first property was because they didn't have the insurance coverage?
Insurance.
Right.
Did not continue it.
Right, so that was not the duplication of benefits.
Right, but they did not continue the flood insurance, or we did not?
They did not keep it.
They did not.
Yeah.
And to me, they should at least share the burden, or at least we should ask for sharing the burden.
Okay.
I would offer that as an amendment to that resolution.
Would require a different address?
We can get the address.
I thought it was...
I don't understand the share the burden. We're simply making a gesture to attempt to collect the overpayment. Isn't that what your motion was on Tuesday?
Hold on, before you continue discussion and amendment. The resolution talks for 435 North First Street, So you're saying there's a second property with a different address?
Correct.
That we should also include a demand letter? Lori, could you clarify that, please, before we continue discussion?
The second property is 460 North 2nd Street.
460?
Yes.
North 2nd Street.
Yes.
And the FEMA rejection was because they've failed to maintain flood insurance until close?
Correct.
So until we clarify
FEMA,
there's two different property owners in this situation. Okay, did I understand your amendment, Tim? The demand letter for these two properties, you're adding the second property.
We should attempt to contact both property owners.
Okay.
And we should request that they participate in this loss of funding.
Okay. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
And seconded by Fred Conley to discuss the amendment for this particular action. Any discussion?
Okay, we only have one of the two that's causing us problems. Am I right?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
One of the two properties. Oh, go ahead, Brent.
No, FEMA denied or is seeking reimbursement for both properties. The one property that was, I think, is in the resolution is a duplication of benefits where the property owner submitted a flood insurance claim. FEMA paid it after we had closed on the property. So that was the duplication of benefits. The new address that was added tonight, the second property, they denied or seeking reimbursement because the property owner did not keep flood insurance all the way through demolition. I think it's a requirement. So they denied on both properties. And the breakdown is roughly, I think, $60,000, $65,000 on one and $80-something on the second property.
Did the property owner get paid anything from the first property? Or the one we're adding?
Yeah, okay. Just the purchase. It was, they didn't receive a flood insurance
claim. So they did not receive a flood insurance claim.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, and really, the FEMA is out $1,300 or something for not having the premium. So.
Did that answer your question, Rich? And if I might further clarify.
I don't propose any legal action. I say at least we should send a letter and make a request that they cost share, participate in, you know.
Yeah, make a demand.
And to clarify the amendment we're talking about, since Department of Natural Resources is taking up half the burden, do I understand your amendment that the request will for our half, not Natural Resource District? Their Natural Resource
District. Just loss of funds that we suffered, I think they should participate in.
So just our half. Okay.
Well, I thought we were paying the whole thing.
We're splitting the burden with the Department of Natural Resources.
Correct.
That's what the resolution
says. The request
says.
From FEMA is
yes.
151, and then wait. Plays out, we'll split that with Dina.
So just again, to clarify your amendment, we'll request the entire amount, and if they bring it, then Natural Resources won't have to split it.
Or a negotiation can happen that can come to an agreement. I think that would be.
Is that understood?
Yeah, understood.
Okay. Fred Conley had her hand up next, and then Phil.
Well, we had an amendment at the subcommittee.
We had it all ironed out.
No, it wasn't amended. It was never proposed as a resolution. So he added the language before the resolution was made.
Oh, well, I thought okay.
I anticipated the subcommittee to take that
I thought it was.
Action to both property owners and not just one.
Oh, I see.
Although one benefited much greater
than
the other, but I think the fair thing to do would be to share in the pain.
Okay.
And Phil?
I don't have any problem with reaching out to both owners, but how long are we going to, you know, is the payment due pretty quickly?
We have to make our payment.
So we'll make our payment and just try to recoup
absolutely
the cost.
Absolutely make our payment to FEMA.
Okay. And then try to recoup the cost through a letter?
The
demand letter?
Yes.
We're going to go ahead and pay it and then try to recoup costs later.
The payment will be made to the D2. And then this is just... you send a demand letter, and you get it or you don't.
Okay.
Okay. Just a point of clarification. Did both property owners fail to uphold something that they were supposed to do?
Yes. Well, whether they knew whether to, if they could make a claim under the flood insurance policy, I don't know. I don't know if they knew that or not, but it was certainly something that, in my opinion, FEMA should have caught it. I mean, just plain and simple. They were making the second payment.
So is that a yes or a no?
Yes on the first one. Second one, I don't have enough information to know whether they were aware of whether they should make a flood insurance claim.
Okay, so ignorance is a good
for them, yes.
Defense on this, thank you. Would that work for me if I did that too?
I mean,
we couldn't see in their system.
We watched out for you.
We didn't know. We're going around and around again.
Same old story. All right.
If they didn't uphold their end of the bargain, then they should bear some of the cost on it. So, but I don't know.
I don't anticipate any homeowner participating or paying us. But let's say they did. We're going to keep that money, or do we intend to split it back with the Nebraska DNR?
Well, I think that was what Jim's point. My understanding of the amendment is that we would keep it. That's how I interpreted Jim's question.
So I suspect we should split it back with the
whatever we are.
We'd keep our share and not their share.
Let's just say if we recoup any funds, we can bring this back to the board and say, yep, these funds, and you can make a motion to determine if we split it with DNR.
We'll hold it for a
tip or keep it.
We'll ask.
let's get the funds first and then you'll decide.
John's over here spinning it before we got it.
All right, voting on the amendment. Clear as mud.
Sorry.
Yeah, here's some over here. Okay, we're voting on the amendment.
The amendment is to seek recovery from both property owners.
Yes. Roll call.
Tomlin.
Aye.
Dickinson.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
Harmon.
Yes.
Peterson.
Yeah.
Dickley.
Aye.
Harmon.
Aye.
Bradley.
Yes.
Yes. Now we'll vote on the resolution as amended. Roll call.
Say that again.
The resolution as amended with the second property. We're voting on the original resolution as amended.
Davidson.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Teason.
Yes.
Dagley.
Aye.
Bradley.
Yes.
Tomlin.
Aye.
Chairperson.
Yes. That concludes my report, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, item 13C, ad hoc for Davis Creek. Director Ted Japp, you're up.
Be it resolved that the minutes of the October 12th, 2021 meeting of the Ad Hoc Consultant Selection Subcommittee, RFP, for professional services for the Davis Creek WFPO project are accepted. Incorporated in these minutes and the following recommendations of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. Number one, professional services agreement with JEO Consulting Group for the Davis Creek WFPO project. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute a professional services agreement with JEO Consulting Group for the Davis Creek Watershed WFPO project for a maximum fee of $28,530, phase one, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Thank you. Any public comments on that item? Any staff directors? Roll call.
Fowler.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Dagley.
Aye.
Harmon.
Aye.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Chairperson.
Yes.
Whoops. Item D, ad hoc for the 319 Watershed, Director Larry Bradley, you're up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Be it resolved that the minutes of the October 12, 2020 meeting of the Ad Hoc Consultant Selection Subcommittee, RFP, for Papillion Creek 319 Watershed Small Flood Control and Water Quality Structure Project professional services are accepted, incorporated in these minutes, and the following recommendations of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. Item 1, initial screening of proposals for consultant selection interviews. Recommendations that the subcommittee request interviews with FIRA, HDR, and JEO Consulting Group in the order presented on November 4th, 2021 at 4 p.m., and I so move.
Thank you. Any public comments? Directors? Roll call.
Jeff?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Peter?
Yes.
Beckley?
Aye.
Bowman?
Aye.
Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Davidson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jeffers?
Yes. Thank you. Item 14, Treasury's Report. Director Tim Fowler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to take items A through J all-inclusive, and be it further resolved that the financial reports be affixed to and made part of the minutes. I so move.
Second. Second by Rich Teaser. Any public comments? Directors? Roll call.
Yes.
Teaser? Yes.
Edward?
Aye.
Conley?
Aye.
Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Davidson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Jefferson?
Yes. Item 15, legal update. Brent Meyer?
Update.
Item 16, chairperson's report. Item A, the meeting schedule for 2022. As mentioned earlier, boy, it'll be coming up on us real quick, but we have to vote on the dates. I'm assuming those have been adjusted for any holidays and so on, of course, as usual. So I need a motion to approve those dates. Bill will approve it. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Bradley.
I got a question.
Any public comments?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Does this have any impact on Election Day? And is this 2022?
Yes, 2022.
And no board meetings. Yeah. Okay.
We'll address subcommittees if necessary. Yeah. But good question. Any other comments? Directly. Roll call.
Peter.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
Yes. Item B, I don't get to do this ever, I don't think, but Fred Conley, you missed the NARD meeting, that's okay. They awarded years of service to directors and employees of various lengths of service. I did receive one for my 20 years of service, which I have duly put on my mantle.
Call clap.
Fred Conley has a beautiful presentation. I want to present you with your 25 years of service the NRD board. Congratulations. Thank you for your continued service.
Thank you.
I think Rich Teaser is the long shot here, right? How many years? Who's counting?
Yeah. I don't know.
Tim Fowler's right behind and so on. But thank you again. And
thank you.
There weren't too many. Well, there are a few, of course. We get recognition down there for the state. So thank you for your service.
Thanks a lot.
Item C, the National Association of Conservation Districts is now holding another annual meeting. They've suspended for a couple years. That's in Orlando, Florida, February 12th through the 16th. Tim Fowler is the representative because he's on some magic
grant program for
NACD. Grant program that they cover. And Sapinski also asked to attend. If there's anyone else interested, please let me know. We normally just send two, but let me know if you're interested in that. Things are still being worked out as far as the conference. Item D, Trails Connectivity Plan. In the front of your binder is I'm going to say partial because I looked at my connect. Is Eric here? I had 36 maps.
He's running. Here he comes. There he is. Forrest, run.
Let me preface what you have in the front of your binders. We used to have a connectivity plan. Jerry Bowen produced one. Jerry Bowen's been gone a long time. But in relative things, not so long, right, Fred?
Mm-hmm.
So Eric has worked on the plan, and these are the trails, the little segments that we built, the dam site recreation areas. We always put a trail around them. We built connecting trails, but their main focus, especially with the creek system, trying to connect our 130 miles more effectively. And so Eric did a great job of pulling together the maps for our planning purposes. I'll leave it at that. We're not voting on this. We have this consolidation of these trail segments that eventually by project or benefactors or otherwise, we'll have a complete trail system. That's our master plan, if you will. That's our goal. So if you want to mention anything about this partial list, or is it a full list? Did you see what we got?
Yeah. As a reminder, there was a presentation last year, so I think there's a cover sheet that talks about trail connectivity planning. This is the same set of maps that was presented last year. And so it's broken down into kind of three sections. We didn't have a formal PDF or a combined set of maps for everything at that time, but this is the same stuff that we looked at last year. There are some projects in here that have been completed. There are some that are currently in process, either in design or even in construction. There are some that are in the near future planning, and then there are some that are in kind of the farther distant future planning, kind of conceptual. We're working with the City of Omaha on their bicycle and pedestrian master plan, and that will incorporate some of these same locations. We're working with Douglas County on a project out by West Maple Road. So we're working with most of the jurisdictions within the Omaha metro area to incorporate these into their plans and decide which agency is the best to see the implementation of these projects moving forward. So if there are any thoughts or comments, these are not... Some are, again, in either design or construction at this point. But if there are other, if there's any input from the community about these projects or how best they could connect to existing businesses or places that people want to get to and from, we'd be glad to take that into consideration as we move forward with these projects.
So how is this different than the link that I got? I had 36 maps, because there aren't 36 in here.
I don't think it should be. I think this should be
okay.
Should be the same. I guess I can take a look at that for you and see there.
I'll read it. I didn't. I started to here, but
yeah, probably should be the same thing that was sent to you earlier.
Okay, so take this for reference purposes. People say, hey, I want to build a trail by whatever. Pull this out and see if it's already being planned or not.
Any other comments?
Okay. Thank you, Eric. Good job.
Yep.
General Manager's Report, 17, John Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Attached is the information education highlights. You can read those. Personnel miscellaneous items. So a great example, public-private partnerships. On October 15th from 3 to 6, there will be a household hazardous waste collection in Blair. We worked with Cargill and with the Nebraska Los Hills Resource Conservation and Development Council. Cargill is contributing $15,000, and the NRD is covering the remaining $5,000 for the cost of the program. So, again, a great example of how we can partner with multiple, not only public but private entities. We did receive two thank you notes from members of the Southwest YMCA for Tom and his group for helping get prepared for their group picnic. Big thank you to Bennington Skills USA for conducting their annual cleanup at Prairie View Lake on September 11th. great group of youngsters. I went up there and done presentations for them before, and they're very active in the community, do a great job helping where they can. Couple notes. October 26th, the Offutt Air Force Base tour. All of your information is in to security now, so I haven't heard back that you're all cleared, but we're counting on it. So the tour will start at 9. I will be sending you information that the base sent to me as far as your behavior, things you can and can't do, and then also where we are going to meet. The base is providing us transportation when we get on base to do the tour. So I will send you a map of where we're going to park in the morning, and then we'll do StratCom first from 9 to 10, and then after that, I haven't seen the agenda yet. But thank you for getting all that information in to me. They've done a great job helping us to put this together. Also, just a couple of notes. Bill and Curtis are working on, we will get display monitor here and one for the public out there. So when presentations and agenda items and that are displayed here, they will be simultaneously displayed in those locations. So we're going to keep this set up. We need to have everybody be able to see what we're discussing. So they're working on that right now. Report on purchases, construction services, professional service, personal properties attached, as well as the current and ongoing project with the District Legal Counsel. The Papillion Creek Watershed Partnership meeting scheduled for September 23rd was canceled. Next meeting is October 28th. And one note on the presentation by by Dr. Bell today, the NRD managers have put together a committee. I am on that to work with ag groups, the cattlemen, UNMC, UNL, municipal water supply operators, and things like that to try to really put the pedal to the metal to get some of these things taken care of. And so we're kind of trying to do it collaboratively. I think that data is pretty eye-opening as far as some of the problems that we face here in Nebraska. So those groups have already started to meet with the ag producers and the cattlemen, and I know we're doing some coordination with the municipalities as far as their utilities and things like that. So it's not being ignored. It's only stirring, I think, more action. So more to that in the future as we get involved in more activity. So that concludes my report, Mr. Chairman.
Item 18, informational items. I do want to point out November 10th, our next board meeting. Check the calendar. That's a Wednesday. Thursday is a holiday. So we'll have subcommittees on the 9th and the board meeting the next day. That's a major change. Maybe did we not approve that last
year? Last year.
We did approve that last year because we caught it on the calendar. Repeated there twice. If you missed the meeting, it's because you didn't put it on your calendar. All right, item 19. We are adjourned.